I do want to ask you a question pertaining to the best advice that you can provide to those perhaps who are interested in pursuing legal writing. And at the same time, how would you say your past 2 weeks has been with the NATO Association of Canada?
There's a bit of a vacuum in certain areas. There's a bit of secrecy in certain specific areas, but the people that are most helpful are those who are involved. So you may not find this on Wikipedia, but if you're interested in, you can ask a professor, you can ask someone who's involved in the area, and they will have much more of an insight than anything else you can find online. So that core of knowledge that exists that's passed on within the profession, I think that has been much more valuable of a start. And then there's some quality periodicals. There's been the Financial Times that I've found very helpful. The Economist has been pretty open on the topic. But engaging in legal writing is a bit of a different beast at NATO Canada. It's not a dossier that I've inherited from anybody else. It's pretty much a binder that I'm starting on my own. And it's a very exciting time.
You completed your first year at Osgoode Hall Law School. How would you say that this has helped you shape your understanding of international relations and global affairs?
Well, I have to be quite honest and say I don't think there's much of an international component in our first year of studies. You're forced to, and rightfully so, you're forced to take the foundational tenets of a legal system, the contracts, property, criminal law, and such. But I developed a great appreciation for our system, specifically our charter. It's a beautiful document. It's not long. I would encourage anyone to read the charter. It is great seeing it also evolve in live time. There's so many aspects of it that are left to the interpretation of the courts of our day. And having a very strong Supreme Court justice, it's interesting to see where this is all headed. We've seen the recent decision in Carter and assisted suicide in some extreme cases being allowed, and how this will transition into the government of the day's legislation, whether that'll be upheld. It's very interesting to watch the developments in our law and compare it in many ways to the international systems. We are very, very lucky.
Oftentimes, I have students ask me and young professionals ask me about advice. As you know, I'm currently completing my law degree through University of London's international program. And prior to that, I completed my honors bachelor's degree in legal studies following the completion of a master's degree at the University of Waterloo. If you're passionate in pursuing an area of international law and human rights, well, the best thing that you can do is obviously complete your law degree and then work for a non-for-profit organization, NGO, or the United Nations, or look at opportunities that are available internationally. With my background, I'm very passionate about international law and human rights. That's one of the areas that I can see myself pursuing. However, I oftentimes tell those who ask me for advice to take into account the demands and the requirements of completing a law degree, because it's very rewarding, but at the same time, it's something that you have to be 100% certain that you want to pursue. There are so many different areas of law. There is corporate law, commercial law, criminal law, and it's so easy to be interested in all of these different areas of law, but it's another thing to remain focused. And with my background, I really enjoy corporate law and commercial law, along with international law and human rights. You know, completing a law degree is one thing, but networking and taking the time to meet with people, if one is interested in pursuing legal writing, then the best thing to do is to look at various associations and organizations that are out there, such as the NATO Association of Canada, to see if there are any opportunities for junior research fellowship positions or for positions as a program editor. One thing that I oftentimes emphasize is it's important to obtain an education, but it's even more important to network. And if legal writing is something that viewers are interested in doing, then look at the opportunities that are out there, whether it be an internship, whether it be a full-time position, whether it be volunteer work. It's so important to get your name out there as a writer. And legal writing, it's one of the most challenging areas of writing because it is so technical. So a lot of our listeners oftentimes are interested in obtaining more information about, you know, advice that they can receive from someone who's currently in law school or someone who currently is pursuing legal writing. So the reason why I wanted to take this opportunity to do an interview with you is because, as I mentioned, you are the first legal writer that we have ever had at the NATO Association of Canada. This is a very exciting time. To everyone listening to this interview, I encourage all of you to follow Adam's work. At the same time, Adam, I do want to mention that you have been involved in legal studies, but prior to commencing legal studies, you also worked in politics, and this is where you managed a campaign for the inter-party nomination race, and later you served as a constituency assistant for a member of the provincial parliament. Can you tell us how that experience has helped shape your understanding of politics? And at the same time, what was it like starting off for you?
My experience, and I think everyone's is going to be different, so this needs to be taken with a grain of salt, of course. But my perspective looking back is a bit jaded. It's a bit jaded, but I wouldn't put much weight into this, as I mentioned. There's a very important community of young people involved in all main parties, or even outside the party system. Although I don't see what I'll be referring to as a bit of a toxic culture on the municipal level as much. But the young people involved in partisan politics these days are, for the most part, I believe they see themselves engaged in a sincere pursuit. They want to better the province. They want to better our country. But there's a caveat of the adversarial nature in which this is all taking place. And I saw it very much play out over the last, over 3 years prior to my legal studies. The culture is somewhat toxic. There's this tribalism, Magda, that I would imagine not much different from the Stone Age, with, you know, folks adorned in distinguishing beer pelts, or maybe beavers would be more fitting in our country. But it's something that we need to move away from. There was a recent announcement by Minister Maria Monsef about striking a committee to change our electoral system, moving away from first past the post, which is, I think, an anachronism that we need to do away with. There are many reasons for doing so. My main opposition to this system is that it doesn't put much weight into your vote or mine. If we did not elect the winning member, that's too bad. Whereas proportional representation systems, there's a mechanism in place to balance out your voting weight. 39% wouldn't be enough for a majority. And that's not to say that the government in place now shouldn't go ahead with changing the system solely because they have 39%. But there should probably be a great deal of a consultation with the other parties in deciding in which way to go. But I think mixed member proportional would be the way to go. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I would love to be done my 3 years of law school and then entertain politics as a pursuit to keep in mind for in the long run. But currently I don't hold any memberships to any parties, and I support candidates on a very personal basis.